Well, hello, everyone. I'm Alicia Swamy. I'm here with my co-host, Eric Johnson, Keely Severson. We are exposing mold. Today, we have Victoria with us from The Mold Hound. How are you doing today, my dear?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on. I'm so happy to be here.
We're doing awesome. I'm so happy to have you. Mold sniffing dogs are on the rise, and they seem to be a very, very good resource for people trying to find the mold, because as we know, different testing methods such as air testing or surface testing only provides a snapshot of what's going on in an environment, and it doesn't really tell you where exactly the mold growth is. So that's where a mold sniffing dog can come in, like yours, Jax, your beautiful little beagle. He's able to find the source points. Is that correct?
Yes. So he is trained to find many different types of mold. We love using ERMI tests, and we have nothing against inspection companies. You know, it's all great. It's all about trying to help people. You know, that's the whole point of this. It's not about who's better, who's worse. But the whole point of the dog is, what's great about them is that they can actually find the source, which in our situation was the problem. We had three inspectors come, and our levels were high. My levels were high in my body, but nobody can find where it was. And with our home, it was a problem that happened before we moved in. So we had no idea that there was a leak or anything going on. So we had a mold dog come to our home and actually find the source, which is what, you know, is great about mold dogs, is they can, you know, as you know, mold spores, they can be, you know, circulating throughout the house. So it's kind of everywhere. If you do an ERMI test, a lot of the times it'll come up in every single room because it's circulating in the air. But the great thing about, you know, the mold dog, it's like if you have a turkey in the oven, you know, the whole house smells great, but you have that one source, and that's where the dog comes in. He finds that pinpoint of where your problem is, so you can actually get to it and get rid of it.
Awesome. So it sounds like you yourself had your own personal mold experience. Could you maybe talk more about that? And did that actually lead you to getting your own mold dog and starting this business?
Yeah. So this is definitely, even 2 years ago, not anywhere where I thought I would be. Life changes just really quickly. I started experiencing symptoms about 10 years ago. And first it was just very gradual, you know, just kind of a little bit of fatigue and, you know, just symptoms here and there, moving symptoms around my body. I had two kiddos around that time. So I honestly thought that it was just, you know, hormones and the body changing and all of that stuff. And I kind of started seeing doctors, you know, slowly just kind of, hey, what's going on? You know, you're getting older, all of that stuff. But my symptoms just increasingly got a lot worse, to the point where I was in bed almost all day long. I could not function. I was barely speaking. So when people talk about the fact that, like, you sound like you have dementia or Alzheimer's, you do get to that point, if your mold is bad enough, where you can't even do, like, you can't even speak in coherent sentences. You start just blabbering random things out. And for me, we got to a point where I had seen over 20 specialists already. I had seen every doctor out there, and all of them were just confused. And they all just kind of came to the conclusion that I have anxiety, that it's all in my head, that, you know, I'm just, you know, worrying. I have health anxiety. I'm worrying about all these things. And then we got to a point where I just randomly lost eyesight in one of my eyes one day. It just disappeared. And that's kind of when they were like, okay, there is something bigger going on. But they still couldn't find what it was. They just said, I probably have some new autoimmune disease or something happening in my body that's triggering this. Or maybe I got an infection or something like that. But I was working with a natural practitioner, and she was like, look, I'm going to test you, your body, for mold, because I think that's what's going on. She worked with other clients with this kind of issue. And at this point, I had heard about mold. I'd heard about mold illness, but we didn't have it. I mean, our house is clean, renovated. You would never guess. So, you know, she tested my body, and my scores came off just off the roof high. You know, it was pretty bad. And with my symptoms, she's like, look, I know you say you don't have it, but it's there. Your body is showing that it's there. Your symptoms are showing it. So we went down the rabbit hole of mold, which, you know, with this show, I think you guys have heard of it. I think everyone that has mold issues has been through this rabbit hole of inspection companies, doctors, and everything you can think of. You know, we had the ERMI, we had the air test, we had three inspectors come to our home. And that's kind of where we got stuck, because we had them come and they were like, well, you know, you have a little bit of dust in the carpet, you know, you should change your dishwasher and things like that. But I'm like to the point of dying. So we were, you know, we were getting antsy. We didn't know what to do. And it just, one of my friends was like, hey, I heard about this thing. I don't know how well it works. There is a mole dog. And, you know, maybe you should try to find your source that way. So we had the mole dog fly out and he was just pointing everywhere, which our first week we were like, you know, maybe this isn't real. Maybe this is just, you know, a hoax. And so my husband started the remediation process afterwards, opening the house up, and it was just everywhere. We had found out later that our home was flooded before we moved in. And when the bank got the house, they just painted over all of it. So we had not an active source of mold. So we didn't have wetness anywhere. So when they checked, you know, with the holes in the wall and the moisture meters, they couldn't find anything because we had dry mold. So when we started opening up our walls and our ceilings downstairs, because we had water, I guess it was a kitchen sink leak and it went all the way down to the stairs. So our whole bottom level was completely in water. I guess that's how it happened. Because when we started opening up the walls, every single wall, every single ceiling in the downstairs was completely riddled in mold. So that's kind of how that happened. And then, you know, when I started slowly getting better, we contacted the trainer for mole dogs. And we were like, look, we know so many people here in Washington and the states surrounding. I mean, we know so many people that are struggling with this. Is this something that, you know, we can do? And that's kind of how the ball got rolling. You know, we got the dog trained and then we flew out and we got trained and here we are.
Eric had a question for you.
Yeah. With all the specialists that you contacted, did any of them ever mention chronic fatigue syndrome?
Yes. So I had heard a lot about fibromyalgia. I heard chronic fatigue syndrome. I don't know why they press so hard on anxiety. A lot of them, they even put it because they wanted to give me like anti-anxiety pills. They wanted to give me antidepressants, which, you know, I was a bit scared of doing, but they really pressed on that. They even put it in my, you know, in my charts that I was being non-compliant, that I didn't want to take the things that they were giving me. But I just had this gut feeling that there was something more going on. But every single time I'd go to a specialist, they'd be like, hey, you know, whatever we're giving you, you don't want to try. So there's not much else we can do. But I did hear from one or two that it's chronic fatigue syndrome. I heard a lot about fibromyalgia, but most of them would just say that this is just a chronic illness that you're going to have to live with. It's probably genetic. You probably have something going on. Maybe it's anxiety ridden and you just, you know, not anxiety isn't always because it's, you know, you actually are anxious. Sometimes it's just in your body. So I heard a lot of different variants.
So they just used the word chronic fatigue syndrome as if it was a meaningless label.
I heard a lot when I heard about chronic fatigue syndrome, I actually brought it to my naturopath and she, you know, started going down the natural route of trying to give me vitamins and all of that. But when I went to my, to the specialist, he was like, you need to sleep more. I had two little kids also. So they were like, you need to sleep more, you know, you need to get your rest. That's a big thing. You know, are you worried about your kids growing up? Sometimes moms have this also when you're sitting home and you used to work, you have this, you know, new kind of just exhaustion. I heard that a lot. So they kind of, I would say, took chronic fatigue syndrome as just something that basically I was creating in my body because, you know, I was just busy and tired and I was a new mom. It was just something that I had to fix, basically.
Don't you just love that? How they just like to blame you. Let's throw all these diagnoses on you and blame you, your life, your stress, your kids, and never look to maybe there's something environmental going on. So
no,
it's good that you found out, but it sounds like you're so similar to so many people, even to my own story, where it's like, it was hard to believe when someone mentioned mold to you and you're like, what? My house is great. What are you talking about? Look at it. It's clean, you know? Yeah. And then you bring people in and then they start breaking through walls and you're like, oh my God, this is why I'm so sick. And this is why so many people across America are really ill. And the ones that do find out are the lucky ones. I would say we are the lucky ones because Yes. We didn't stop being interested and curious and investigating what was going on with our health. And we didn't take the advice from doctors as is. Like We knew something was going on. Something intuitively inside of us told us, keep searching for the cause because this is not right. And I'm sure that's how you felt when the doctors kept giving you drugs. You probably knew that, okay, this is just a Band-Aid. Yeah. Let's try to figure out what's going on, you know, because I was the same way. I don't want to be hooked on benzos. I mean, I know about people who are hooked on that and how even that's dangerous in and of itself. So why add another problem to my plate?
Well, so, my point in asking was that apparently the doctors never looked into chronic fatigue syndrome and never told you what it was.
No, I think a lot of things that I was going through at that point, I think we see this a lot in this mold community, is that they kind of dismiss you, especially the things that you're going through, as just something that you have to figure out and you have to take care of yourself. They don't give you many answers. They don't really, I would even say they don't even really try to help you. I mean, I was at the point where I was having over 150 symptoms and it was just kind of like, well, you know, you need to figure this out. You need to live a healthier lifestyle. You basically did this to yourself. And when you try to ask for answers, if you don't take the medication, you are marked as non-compliant, as, you know, you didn't want to take the antidepressants. You didn't want to take this. You didn't want to take that. So what do you expect? You know, you can't get better if you're not doing these things. That's why I'm a very, if you go on my Instagram, you see that I talk a lot about advocating for yourself, because and with this kind of illness, same as autoimmune, same as Lyme disease, and, you know, a slew of other diseases, you have to advocate for yourself. And it's not, I have nothing against doctors. There are a lot out there that are amazing and I've heard have helped people. But with this kind of disease, you have to advocate for yourself with doctors, with inspectors, with your family, with friends, with everything, you know, because you are going to have those people that try to help you, you know, that believe you. But, you know, this is something, I wouldn't say it's new, but mold illness is just not getting the recognition it really deserves. It really is not. It's just not talked about enough, even though we see a whole bunch of stars already getting sick and a whole bunch of people getting sick. But still, if you go to a doctor right now, most of them are saying that mold does not cause these kinds of symptoms, even chronic fatigue syndrome. It does not cause it. So it really is about advocating for yourself and being like, no, I know something else is going on. I know there's a root cause and I need to get to the bottom of it, because these pills, or, you know, just saying, this is how I'm going to live. This is, you can't accept that for your life. And I think that in this illness, that kind of is the reason that people are so down and can't find, you know, find answers, because they've just been dismissed so often by people.
Absolutely. You're going to war. You're already going to war with your own body, trying to figure out what the hell's going on, but you literally are going to war with everybody.
Yep.
Everybody's giving you these diagnoses, this information. They're not giving you the accurate information. You know, with CFS, we know the doctors have completely blew that out of the water with lies and deceit and not providing the accurate information on what's going on, never mentioning mold. And then we're starting to see a trend, which is extremely shocking to me now, of naturopathic doctors and functional medicine doctors claiming that your unhealed, unresolved emotional trauma is the reason why you're not overcoming your mold illness or your chronic illness. And I'm just like, wow, I thought these people were going to be leading the way for these chronically ill, mold sick, mystery illness type folk. But now they're sort of going the path of, well, maybe it's all in your head, just like your other doctor. But now you trust these folks because they at least gave you validation. Till they hit you with that curveball. Well, you know, maybe you got to work on your trauma and do your brain retraining. So I don't know what's going on in the industry. It's crazy. So that's pretty much
why it does send you to the rabbit hole. That's the thing that happens to me about this, is it really sends people into this horrible rabbit hole where you can't get answers from doctors. You can't get answers from your natural practitioners. One point you're cleaning your house, next point you're taking pills, and then you're working on your trauma and you don't even know how to work on your trauma. And, you know, you have people telling you basically 16 variants of why you're sick, and you don't have the energy to even figure this stuff out, because, you know, you don't have to live this non-toxic life. And then on top of it, you have to work through some kind of trauma that you have no idea about. And then you have your doctors telling you that, you know, it's all in your head and you need to work on your depression. And you're just going through this whole slew of things where you have basically, you barely have enough energy to go make yourself a coffee, you know? So it definitely, that's why when, you know, we come see clients, this isn't just a job. I mean, I really, for me, it's a blessing that I get to work with these people. I have people writing me daily their stories. It's scary. It's scary what people are going through. It's scary what people's kids are going through, what people's animals are going through. And they're going through some really deep stuff and not getting the recognition they deserve. They're at war. You said it perfectly. This is a war. They're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their bodies. And they're fighting for their families on top of it. Because usually, even if the families don't have a slew of symptoms like they do, they still, mold affects everyone. It just is what it is. You may not have symptoms like I do, but it affects everyone. It's affecting your kids, your husbands, your animals. So you're at war. You said it exactly perfectly. You are at war.
It's ironic that mold dogs are becoming popular now. I put an article in the British Medical Journal that in the lack of any help from doctors, I was going to train myself to become my own mold dog. So I took a sample of Stachybotrys out to a pristine location, the desert, and I tried moving myself into closer proximity, learned to recognize the signs and symptoms, whatever changes occurred, and treated that as if it was a mold exposure, avoided that, and recovered.
Yeah.
That's a super good point, Eric. Yeah. So, Victoria, when you're going into homes, are you and the dog almost working off of each other? Since you have this experience with mold. I don't know if you are to the point where you're sensitive to now you can feel it if you're in an environment that is moldy, but are you sort of, you and Jax working off of each other where he'll indicate a spot and you'll then sort of have a symptom and that will sort of be like validating for you too? Or how does that work?
So you definitely work really closely with your dog. I mean, we train with him daily because you need to know your dog and your dog needs to know you. This isn't just like a, sit command. This is people's lives. So we take it pretty seriously. We train with him on a daily. I already know sometimes even if he doesn't fully stop, I can already see him stopping. I know his telltale signs, like they say. And I actually always tell clients that if he's not up for it today, I can tell you where it is. I can usually walk into a building and I can tell you pretty quickly if it has mold. We had a client one time where we usually do a walkthrough first before we bring the dog in, for his safety and for our safety, because if there is a ridiculous amount of mold or, I'm just looking up at the ceiling and I'm seeing it, we're not bringing the dog in and I'm not going to go in either, because you shouldn't, if you're looking at it, you shouldn't even be in the house at that point. But I have been into a house recently where I came in and I was doing a walkthrough and I told her like, look, this isn't magic, but I'll show you magic right now. You're going to have mold in this area right here. Like as soon as I opened that door, I was like, it's there. You have it. He's going to stop here. So watch the magic happen. And as soon as I brought the dog in, just right away, he runs there and he sits, because I think all of us at this point, if you're really sensitive, we can be mold dogs ourselves because we are sensitized to that point. I can usually walk into people's houses and, I may not know exactly where it is, but I can say that they have it because I can feel it already. And I think a lot of us are like that. I hear that constantly when people are writing me like, hey, I'm my own mold dog. And I'm like, hey, in a way that's great because you know how to protect yourself already. It's just the great thing about the dog is that he can actually show you the source, which I can't do.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the club that no one asked to be in.
Right.
In the right space. We're all very hypersensitive. And, in the beginning when I was really sick before, right when I met Eric, Eric saved my life. I think I would have killed myself by now if I had to live like this. But he really helped me understand how to develop my own symptoms. What I thought too, it was like, man, I should get a mold dog. I mean, if this is how I'm going to live, I need to have something that's going to help me. And then I was later able to develop my own senses and find mold. It's just a weird situation, to have this sort of superpower that you didn't ask for. And then having the dog, I feel like it's really nice to have the dog, even just for your own personal use. Yeah. As a hypersensitive, because there's some times where you'll walk into a place and it's so bad, you'll get hit and you're like, I don't know what's going on. And maybe the dog can, help you out in those certain situations. So it's nice. For your clients, but also for your own personal use as a person who's been extremely affected by mold. So a few things came to mind for me. How are you then protecting your health and the dog's health after going into these homes? Like, do you do one home a day or are you implementing some sort of protocols to like make sure that you don't go back to where you were before when you were really mold sick?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's actually one that we get often, especially about the dog's health. First, the dog does not, I always have to put that out there, the dog does not breathe the way that we breathe. So they do have senses in their nose that when it's something bad or something toxic, they breathe it out. So it doesn't go into their lungs. Now, if you have an animal living in mold, that's a different story because they're just constantly in it. You know, there's no way that they can keep breathing it out because, you know, they need to breathe. So Jax is living in a clean home. You know, he's safe. We have a great vet that knows what he's doing, and he's detoxed also constantly. You know, we're checking his levels constantly, and, you know, he's a rescue dog. So he's actually in better shape right now than he was before. So, you know, we take great care of him. He's our family pet. You know, my kids love him, and we make sure that he's, you know, healthy and safe, and we make sure to get him checked constantly. But I think people have the wrong idea that, you know, we're going into 8 houses a day, every single day, and we're checking mold constantly. And he's basically just sitting there breathing it in. We try to only do a couple of inspections a week for his safety, for my safety. My husband also does this. We're both trained in it. So, you know, we switch back and forth, but the dog does not go into the house as much as people think he does, you know? So when we do the walkthrough, he is in the car, he's not in the house. So first we're making sure that the house is safe for him to come into. And then when he's checking the house, he's only there for about half an hour to an hour tops. You know, he's taking breaks. And while he's taking his breaks, he's also in the car. We're taking him for walks. So he's actually not getting exposed as, you know, as much as everyone thinks he is. He's only in the houses for maybe half an hour to an hour at a time, which, you know, when you're going to the grocery store, you're probably getting exposed a lot more there because, I mean, if you look up at the vents, usually I can tell you that most stores, most restaurants have a ridiculous amount of mold. So he's doing well. I, of course, you know, I still work with really close with my practitioner. I detox constantly. I use my infrared sauna constantly with my binders because, you know, I never want to get back to where I was. I have been in situations where, you know, if I see the house is too much for me or if I'm feeling too much, I'll give it to my husband. He'll do the inspection because he's not as sensitive as I am. But right now, you know, we definitely just protect ourselves, you know, masks, gloves, we wipe off the dog, wipe off ourselves, don't take the clothes into the house. And just we work a lot on drainage pathways and detox to make sure that we're doing well. And same thing with the dog. We just make sure that he's detoxed and outside for the rest of the day, getting that fresh air.
Very cool. Very cool. So are there any breeds that can or cannot become a mold dog, you'd say?
So some, it's not a breed. You can't become a mold dog if you have like a button nose. They can't breathe in the mold, not breathe in the mold. They can't detect it as well because of the way that their nose is. So it has to be a dog, you know, that doesn't have a button nose. It can be almost any breed. It's not anything special. You know, we pick Jax, we love him. I love beagles. Beagles are one of the best smelling dogs. You know, if you've seen them, they're used a lot in bomb detection and drug detection. So because they do have a really high rate for like smelling, their nose works great compared to other dogs, but almost any other dog can work. It wasn't, you know, a specific thing. I think there's about 8 to 10 dogs in the United States right now. And I think they're all different. There's not, you know, one type of dog, but, you know, we just chose Jax. We love him. And, you know, he does really great. His nose works amazing, especially when we're in the kitchen and the food comes out.
I love that. My husband is a big beagle lover and he was like, oh, they have a beagle. Those are the best sniffing dogs. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm sure she'll know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to show my little pup here. I mean, these little guys are so great. And it seems like, so I'm guessing that Bill White trained Jax. He seems to be the number one dog training for mold guy in the United States. Is it him?
Yeah, so he's the founder of it. You know, I'm not going to tell his story, but he definitely dealt with mold in his family. And, you know, that's kind of how he came up with this. I know he does bed bugs and a lot of different, you know, he does COVID dogs and there's a lot of different training that he does. But, you know, he's amazing at what he does. Like, I know that they send a lot of dogs to different countries because I think it's Japan, from what I know. This is the only way that they detect mold. Japan, I believe it is. You know, if you have mold, that's the only way they do it. There is no other inspections, you know. I know that he sends them a lot to other countries, but here, you know, just like we see in other, same thing with, you know, practitioners and everything else. I remember he was saying that when he used to train them here for the United States, a lot of people started scamming people And scamming sick people is one of the worst things, in my opinion. So, you know, he stopped giving out dogs left and right. So there's not a lot of them now. He usually, you know, is only training with people that have gone through it and understand it, because, you know, they most likely will not scam people because they understand, you know, the hell that this is. And that's what I always tell people. It's not just, you know, I got lucky and it's not just like a job for me. You know, for me, this is really personal. And every single client that we see and every single case that we see, I mean, we try to check in with them after, you know, we try to always give them a call afterwards, because it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch families going through this, you know, and I think that's kind of how he came up with this, because, you know, he dealt with it himself. And you see that there's just a lot of people sick with mold and there's just no help out there.
Absolutely. That's why exposing mold came together, because we were so shocked by how how people are taking advantage of others in every regard, the doctor side, the remediation side, the inspection side. It's just so rampant. And we are so passionate in protecting families and from getting taken advantage of, because this is such a financially draining, emotionally draining, soul-sucking, family-tearing apart situation. Like, to add a snaky salesman into the mix that's going to take your money, it's like, this is the last thing that we need to happen to us. We need, and we ask and we call for honesty, and we call people out a lot, and we only work with the best people who are being honest in the industry, and we have no remorse. And at the end of the day, we are all about protecting these families, and that's really important to us. So that's why exposing mold, I don't know what our reputation is, but maybe to those that are the scam artists, we're not the good guys, but to the good guys, we are the good guys. So I guess it depends on
who you talk to. I think you guys are the good guys. And I think you guys are a great reference. I've sent people, you know, I've seen a couple of your episodes where you guys have lawyers explaining, you know, how to come up when, you know, you're trying to get a lawsuit with this. I mean, you guys have a great reference. I've watched many of your guys' episodes, and honestly, I think this is a community that should be helping each other out, because like you said, you don't just lose your house, you lose your health, you lose your house. A lot of people lose their families because not all spouses are even willing to believe them, that, you know, they also think they're crazy, and you lose your mind. I know, you know, people don't even talk about that enough. The PTSD of this, you know, the mental draining that this is, because you're just in this fight mode all the time. You're tired, you have no strength in your body, you're trying to find this mold, then you have to remediate this mold, or you have to move out, you know, then you have all of this remediation stuff, you have all this stuff, like, even that's not talked about enough. You know, when we were getting out, and I was throwing away pictures and albums, I don't even think you can express in words to people how difficult that is. Like, I get it's stuff, but when you already threw away your health and your life and so many other things, it's a hard thing to go through. And I don't think that people will ever fully understand what people, you know, dealing with mold go through. You really lose almost every aspect of yourself. So it's a draining thing to go through. And then on top of that, when you see people scamming people with this, I mean, we've seen, you know, we know a couple of amazing inspection companies, but we have seen the couple where, you know, the same one, people are using the same one, and they're giving people the same advice. It's the dishwasher, it's the carpet, it's, you know, the same thing. It's not like we're reading their reports, and it's from case to case, the same thing. And you're thinking, like, why would you do this? They're going to be spending thousands of dollars on this. Thousands of dollars they don't have to fix problems that are not the actual problems. And that's the hard thing with this.
I agree.
People getting sick, getting scammed, I think, is just one of the worst things. Like, they're already down. Why push them? I don't.
Yeah. And what's even worse is like the ones that were sick and then they go into the business of scamming. I'm like, you went through all this. What's wrong with you? Check your mental state, dude. But I want to move forward here and just ask. I feel like a large part of your job, you're finding the mold, but you're also trying to convince the household members that there's a problem here. How does that work out with a family that you go in and, you know, the wife is extremely sick. She knows it's the mold, but the husband doesn't believe her. Like, what's your tactic on trying to provide this information and trying to convince the family that this is a problem for them?
So that's actually an amazing question, because we see this with almost every client. I mean, even in our situation, when I already went down the rabbit hole of mold, my husband didn't believe it at first. You know, he was a construction worker. It's not that he didn't believe that, you know, that mold can make you sick, but he's like, I know this house, you know, left to right, up and down. You know, we remodeled this house before we came in. So he's like, there is no mold. And we just couldn't understand mold being behind walls, how that can make you sick. Like, we were just, you know, mold is behind the walls. It can't make you sick. It's behind there. There's no way it's ever going to touch your health. But, and we see this a lot with, you know, spouses where it's usually one or the other that's really sick. And, you know, sometimes if they're lucky, they allow their spouse to get the mold dog inspection. Some won't even let them do that. But if they have already allowed it and we come there, you know, we start checking the house. First of all, we have a lot of pictures from clients where they have found mold. You know, they send us afterwards when they're doing remediation and we show them that. I tell them my story. A lot of the time that even makes such a big difference because the stories are so similar. You know, like you said, a lot of people, you know, maybe how it happened is different, but the stories are pretty similar. There is mold. You can't find it. You're getting sick. No one knows where it is. So, you know, we really just tried to work with the families. Like, look, my husband didn't have symptoms, like zero. He had nothing. Like, it was just me dying and my whole family was completely fine. My son may have, you know, been getting sick a little bit more than others, you know. And after we tested him, of course, you know, we found that, you know, his immune system was suppressed too. But when you looked at him, he looked great. My husband looked great. Everybody looked great. And I tell that to people a lot too, just because you're not experiencing a symptom does not mean that it's not affecting you. So, you know, we show them labs, we show them pictures, and a lot of the time, you know, they won't fully believe it until they actually open up those walls and see it themselves. The ones that get lucky, their spouses will, you know, support them, even if they don't fully believe it. I always, you know, my heart hurts for the ones where they're, you know, single moms or they don't have the support of their spouse. And, you know, they're really just going on a whim trying to find this thing. But we try to support our clients as much as we can, you know, with just showing them, hey, this is what happened to others. This is what happened to us. And sometimes when they see a story similar to yours, they'll kind of accept it more. But I think even accepting the fact that your home has mold when you don't see it is a little bit difficult for people. It was difficult for us. So, you know, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not like you put the mold there. Most of them didn't even know that there was a water leak or something happening prior. You know, that's what we see often. We see bank-owned homes a lot. We see new homes. That's by far, my opinion, the saddest thing is when you have this new home that somebody in this market paid a lot of money for, and the builders knew. The builders knew there was mold. The builders just don't care. It's a business. It's sad, but it's a business, especially in states where you have constant rain. It's a big problem that we're seeing. So, but we always tell people there are clean homes. I do not love the fear mongering. There are clean homes. We live in the house that made me sick. You can remediate, you can remodel. I mean, every case is different, but I think that's another thing that, you know, people are just living in fear with this and they're, you know, take us, there's a way out. It's not all just about living in fear. It's, you know, that I'm a big advocate of, you know, you can get better. You can get your family better. You can get your home better. If you have to move, maybe that'll be an option, but you know, this isn't your whole life. It will not have to be your whole life. You know, maybe your life will change because of it, but it can get better.
Yeah, I've said right from the start that I could always find good houses. It's just they're expensive and hard to come by.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, sometimes even the older houses, they may have problems, but it's just the key is to be aware. You look around, even, you know, I have a lot of people that say, you know, oh, I wish I had your dog to show me. Yes, that is very true. You know, the dog is just, you know, you won't find it behind the walls. But when you're buying a house, when you're looking for a house, you know, advocate for yourself, talk to the builder, you know, tell them your problems. And, you know, they won't always be forthright about it. But look at the walls, look at the bathtubs. Were they done correctly? Is there caulking done? You know, do you see any tears? Do you see the wallpaper coming off? Do you see bubbling anywhere? Just, you know, you do as much as you can. And then from there already, you know, it's life. You can't always run away from it. But, you know, we definitely try to, when we come to people's homes, try to show them what you can do moving forward. So you're not just constantly living in fear.
My colleague Keely sent in a message. She said that you look amazing for still living in the home that you fell sick in.
I wish I had taken more videos of the way, as I said before, thank you, Keely. I wish I had taken more videos of the way that my husband remediated the home. As I said before, he was a construction worker. He knows construction very well. I do not ever recommend people doing it themselves unless you know what you're doing, because you can get very sick. So, but you know, we had Bill help us. You know, we talked to remediation companies, so we kind of knew what we were doing. But when I say this house was gutted. Like, we lived in an RV for 9 months. I don't think I mentioned that before. I didn't live in the house. So for 9 months, I did not step foot into this house. It was completely closed off to me. I cooked outside under our deck, and we lived in the RV during the summer. We went camping a lot. And honestly, even that, getting away from it, I actually tell people this all the time too. You can't always just be living in like fix it mode. Sometimes you need to just get away. If you can camp outside, if you can just spend some time outdoors, because the mental toll this takes on you. When we got out and we found out that it was mold and we had it in the house, I think it breaks you in ways that you can't even explain, because as I said, you kind of lose, you lost your health, you lost so many other things, and now you're losing your home on top of it with all of your stuff. So it's a scary place to be. But as I said, we were in the RV for 9 months. It was not easy by any means, especially during the winter months. You know, I live in Washington State. We had a horrible winter storm that year. So we did not go through the fun stuff, but he gutted the house completely. And he made sure that there was not a speck of mold left in this house. We threw away most of our stuff. So when I came back in, and even after he remediated, I didn't come in for, I think, another month to make sure we aired out the house for the off-gassing and all that, of the new paint and all that. So it took a while. This was not easy by any means, but living in the RV, being in the outdoors, is actually one of the biggest things that helped my health. When, you know, we were there, I used my sauna all the time, because it was, you know, we kept it outside, you know, and then we put it in later. But it was big for my mental state. It was big for my physical state. I was detoxing constantly. I was working close with my practitioner at that time. And he was just, you know, putting in the work to make sure the house is clean. Because as I said, you're not always going to, even if you move into a new home, that does not mean you're going to find a clean house. It really doesn't. So at that point, the market was horrible. When we were doing it, it was COVID time. So there was no moving. There was, you know, we did what we could. So, and for us, it was, for me, it was a blessing that he was able to get our house gutted and cleaned and everything. So I always say that if you need to heal, come here, because it's gutted.
But that's awesome that your husband was so committed to your health and getting you well and taking care of the problem and believing you. That's just such a blessing in disguise. And look what comes of it. I mean, the support, the massive amount of support that you had from him. You guys have been able to have a beautiful, clean home that's safe for all of you, Jack's and children, you know, because eventually it was going to affect your kids, you know, or him or whatever.
And it just didn't affect them symptom-wise, because after we moved in, we started, you know, taking tests for all of them, working with the practitioner for all of us. And it was not fun. We're still all doing, constant protocols. It's, as I said, just because you don't have symptoms does not mean that your immune system is not suppressed. That everyone reacts to it differently. So, you know, it definitely affected all of us. We are all still on protocols. We are all still healing, but, I am definitely blessed. I always say, you know, he saved my life. I was slowly dying. I don't know how much longer I probably would have gone through, because I, at some points, I already wanted to die. It was so bad. But you know, I was definitely lucky in that sense. And I do feel horrible for people that don't have that, but it's definitely an advocate for yourself kind of story with mold. You know, you definitely have to fight for your life. You have to fight for your kids' lives. You have to fight for your spouse. It's, no one else is going to do it for you. That's one thing I definitely realized in this world.
Thanks for being so open and vulnerable and sharing that with us, because not a lot of people like to put themselves in that position of like, this is what happened to me. And, you know, it's like when you're fighting in the trenches for your life, it's like, there's nothing that you wouldn't do to make things better. I mean, I feel like sometimes people think that we're faking it or whatever. And it's like, you really think that I want to live this kind of life? Like, this is not what I had planned.
And how often you hear that, you look great.
Oh my God.
Like, you have anything. I have so many times when I'm like, I would show them videos or pictures, you know, now, and I'm like, I was literally dying here. I felt like I was dying, but you know, you become a magician with this illness. You learn how to hide things very well. You learn how to hide your illness, because I feel like even at some point, it's like, it's something to be ashamed of. You don't know what's going on, and you know that people won't fully believe you because there's no answers. So you hide it.
And what's crazy, it's like, you don't look extremely sick. I mean, some do, some don't. And so that was interesting what you said earlier about how, even though people are not showing symptoms, it's still affecting their bodies. And Eric, wasn't this some of the evidence that they found, for mold at Ground Zero for chronic fatigue syndrome? They were doing testing on controls of people who weren't showing symptoms when the outbreak happened in Lake Tahoe in the 1980s. And it still showed that they had some sort of immune system suppression or issues, right?
Yeah, that was the mistake, is the Center for Disease Control demanded that healthy controls be tested. And they showed up with some of the same immune abnormalities, but they were testing people from the very same building that weren't showing symptoms yet. So all they were doing is finding people that had fluctuating levels of Epstein-Barr virus titers, altered lymphocyte counts, lowered natural killer cell function. So it confused the CDC. And rather than come back and realize the mistake they made, they just proceeded on and said, well, looks like the tests are unreliable.
That's a pretty interesting piece of information. It's like, yeah, I mean, just because you're not having symptoms doesn't mean it's not affecting you. And we do see a lot of people that, you know, out of the blue, I mean, more so now because of vaccines and whatever you think about that, but you know, people will go and have a heart attack and just drop dead or whatever. And you're like, wow, you know, thinking about their history and their life. And it's like, well, maybe they were actually in an exposure, but they never had the warning signs. Like people like us who are hypersensitive, like our immune systems are hypervigilant. It's going to tell us right away when we're in a situation that's bad. So it's kind of like a blessing and a curse, I guess you can say, to have the type of sensitivities that we have, because we're able to identify environments that are safe for us or not immediately, whereas someone who maybe isn't as sensitive won't know. And then that damage builds and then leads to something that they can't turn back from.
Yeah.
So in terms of what Jax can sniff, is he trained to sniff all the type of molds, or what is Bill doing in terms of the strains of what?
So these dogs we definitely work with hundreds of different strains. I mean, we do not just concentrate on like the top five and that's it. Like we are changing. That's why I say this is not something where it's just like, you know, we taught him how to sit and that's it. He's good to go. Even when we're not doing inspections, we are training him daily. I'm training him sometimes two times a day, and we're switching out the molds. We are making sure that he can smell every single type that there is, you know? And sometimes it's not for him, it's not specifically like even that he has to find, oh, this is one mold and this is a different type of mold. He can just smell that there is mold there, you know, because it's, as I said, if there's a turkey in the oven, you don't need to know where it came from or what kind it is. You know that it's there. There's a source. There's a problem. So right away, he can tell that there is something there. But we constantly are changing out the molds. We are making sure that he is, you know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what mold is, where it is, what kind it is. So, you know, we're not just doing like two, three different types of molds and that's it. Like it's, we have hundreds of different samples and he knows all of them.
That's awesome. So he's always going in for constant training to, okay, that's good. Because I mean, as we know, mold is doing weird things and it's evolving and growing, and molds that we didn't know were a problem are now a problem. So it's good that he's up on the mold evolution trends.
Yes. That's what I always try to tell people. This is not, nothing is 100% effective. Nothing. You know, you're never going to be able to find something that's 100%. So is there, you know, a chance that he can miss something? You know, we rarely see it, but it could happen. But because we train him, I can't speak for all mold dogs. I think most of them are doing great from what I hear, but I can't speak for everybody. But we take our job pretty seriously. We train with him constantly, as I said, because we've been there. We know what these people are going through. We've even had times where we have come to somebody's house, we've checked their house, and I'm like, look, he's not doing 100% today, because, you know, he's a dog. He'll have those days where he's just kind of like, I'm not feeling it. He'll still do it, but you know, I can see, you know, maybe he's not putting in the 100% and I'll come back and I'll do it again, you know? So we definitely want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to help these people, because as I said, we have been there. We don't want people to be in the same place that they were a year ago. So, you know, we want to make sure that his training is constantly up to date. We're constantly talking to Bill. We're constantly, you know, doing training daily. We're going to different places, because even where you're doing it, we're not just doing the training at home all the time. You know, we have places that we go where we're doing the training. We're making sure that, you know, he's accommodated to different buildings, different types of places, different molds, different people even, you know, so he can, when he's coming to work, he knows what he's doing. He knows he's working and he knows he's on track. Like, we know that he's working and he's going to do what he's supposed to do today.
Absolutely. So this is the question that I forgot that came back to me. When you go into these homes, you say you go in, you do the sweep first. What's the look on people's faces when you go into a home that is so moldy that you feel like you want to die? And then you have to like give them this information. Like, how did they receive that?
So I would say it's a 50-50. We have the 50% that 100% already knows that there's mold and they just want to know where it is. And sometimes they even know where it is. They just don't want to tell us, but you know, they just want to see if he'll find it. So they somewhat already know where the problem is. And then we have the 50% where they're just trying to, I guess, kind of prove that they don't have it. And, you know, I'll take him around sometimes 2-3 times and, you know, he's stopping in the same place. And I'm like, look, I know you don't want to believe it, but there is a problem there. There's something there. I mean, usually people take it pretty well. We definitely still get the shocked faces that a dog can do this. You know, we get that a lot. And I understand that. That's pretty new. When we had the dog come to our house, we were recording him on every move he was making just because it was so interesting. But people are pretty nice about it. People acknowledge it, you know, that this is a new growing business. But we definitely see more of the husbands, you know, or the spouses where they're just kind of like, there's not mold there. I checked. And I'm like, there's mold there.
I hate to break it to you, buddy. There's mold. So are your inspections going to court? Like, are people using the results of a mold dog inspection to prove a case in court?
We haven't dealt too much with that. We've had 1 to 2 clients tell us that they're going down that route. We haven't gone to court yet, but you know, they asked us if we would, if they were going to end up in court, if we would come, but we have heard other mold dog inspectors dealing with that, but people are starting to go down that route a lot lately. But I don't think that people have enough knowledge, at least, you know, in what we're seeing. We're usually there when people are just still kind of figuring it out. So later on, sometimes we have people calling us, but, you know, I think it's, if you can figure out how to do it, it's a really great option for people, because, you know, if they knew you were moving into mold, they should be liable. It just is what it is. Like, if you can figure out how to, you know, get some support or even some financial assistance through it, we 100% support it. And if we can help in any way, we obviously will.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Are you seeing people hiring your company to do pre-inspections for a home purchase?
We've had that a couple of times. Yes. We've had it where they didn't get the home. We've had it where we've found clean homes. That's why I say it's not always really bad. You can find the clean homes. But yeah, we are seeing a lot more of that. It makes it a lot more difficult right now in this market, because the homes are selling so fast that sometimes we've had it, you know, where they've asked us and they're like, we don't have time for you to do an inspection. We have to put in we have to put in an offer today. So it's a little bit more difficult in that sense. We see it less, but we do have those clients.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, wow, this market is so crazy. People are buying homes sight unseen and they're just like, cash, I want that. It's like, wow, I wish I had that type of financial luxury.
Yeah. It's, you see people paying a lot of money for houses that they would not pay for a couple of years ago. It's a crazy market right now. And as you said, that's why I don't, you know, not everyone can move out. Sometimes remediation does have to be the option. So that's why I always try to say it's not about fear mongering. It's about learning to get to the best place you can be. Because, I mean, for us personally, it was not an option. We looked and we got outbid a couple of times and it was not going to happen. So we had to work with what we had. So sometimes that's where people are. They just need to find it and they need to fix it. Others, if we come to a place where it's really bad, I tell them, I mean, living in an RV is going to be better than living in this house because it's going to get bad. Sometimes if you see that people's health is getting really bad and the mold is really bad, you need to get out. There's no remediation options. I mean, it's a burner downer, like I call it. Burn it and get out.
Burn or get out. I like that. Now, here's a crazy hypothetical situation. Have you ever approached a home and Jax is indicating that the home next door is having a problem, that it's like, it's so overwhelming that he's indicating from the outside?
No, we've never had it with next door homes. We don't even, sometimes we'll bring him to even like a friend's house or something. And they're kind of like, oh, is he just going to go smell it? It doesn't usually work like that. It's more of a command thing where he knows that he's working. So, you know, if we're leading him to that house, he's pretty, you know, focused on that house. So we've never really had that. Sometimes if we go into a store with him or something and he starts sniffing like crazy, I can kind of see that, you know, he's already finding something. But usually when he's at work, he knows, you know, where he's working and what he's concentrating on.
I feel like your friends and family are probably nervous when you bring the dog over because it's going to reveal truths that they don't want to be revealed. I remember asking a family member of mine, a company chose us to test their product for hypersensitives, and I offered it to a family member and they're like, no, I don't want you in my house. I don't want to know if there's mold or not. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking about all their health issues in my mind. Well, then don't complain to me about all your health issues then. I'm trying to help you out. Yeah. But you know, some people are just like that.
Now, my last, we definitely have that, but we try not to push it. Like, I know people ask us all the time, like, oh, when you go to a friend's house or a family member's, does he just go sniffing? Do you just go check? Or we've even had it when we go to someone's house and they're like, oh, go check the house. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's not just like, I'm going to take him and go do it. You know, it's definitely like, it's a job and he knows it's a job, but I've had it where we go to people's houses and, you know, you, like you said, you hear their symptoms and I can try to, you know, say it really nicely, kind of like, hey, there might be a problem, you know, but I definitely try to keep my opinions to myself. Like, they know that we do this, you know, they know we have the dog. And if anyone asks, I'm more than happy to help, but I do believe that this is something that you have to come to. If you're not ready for it and you're not willing to accept it, there's not really a point of me checking the house. It's, you know, there's no point. So we definitely don't push it too much on, you know, friends or family members, but, you know, they know it's there. And some of them have asked us to check their homes and, you know, we're happy to.
Absolutely. You know, we've had a lot of people come to us and say, can you convince this person? We're like, we can't convince people of something they don't want to be convinced of. When they're ready and they're open, we'll be here, but we're not going to waste our time trying to convince people. Cause that's like the hardest thing. It will never happen. No. My last question for you before we leave for the day, what is worse? What trends are you seeing in the housing market? Are you finding newer homes with mold issues or older homes with mold issues?
I would say it's a 50-50. I don't think that there's one going over the other. It makes me sadder to see the new homes because I think people have this opinion that if you get a new home, it's going to be completely clean. And that's just not the case. I mean, it goes case by case. But as I said, we live in Washington. It's a rainy state. You know, they put up the foundation, they leave the house in rain for weeks, and it's a problem. It's a huge problem. And so we've seen a lot of issues with new homes, but we've seen clean new homes. And then same thing, we've seen houses that are, you know, 1920s built, but they've been so well taken care of. And there's just kind of like the small problems where they have to kind of fix the caulking, you know, make sure that everything is tight, shut, closed, you know, maybe change the HVAC system, stuff like that. But we've seen houses that are kind of in the middle, which, you know, because a leak can happen to a house that was built 5 years ago. Our house was an old one when we bought it, but, you know, someone left the sink on, the pipe burst, they weren't home, and there's a flood. So it doesn't really matter if it's new or old. It's just, it's how well it's taken care of. And if something happened there.
Wow. It's crazy that you said 50-50. I was thinking more like 70-30, you know, 50-50.
The new housing market, I would say, is actually pretty sad. As I said, I don't like to fear monger people, but it's definitely, it's not done correctly. You see a lot of foundation and mold, and people think that foundation can't affect you, but it can.
Mm. It's important to be hypervigilant and not feel like you're walking into something safe and not knowing. Well, thank you so much, Victoria, for joining us today. It was a great conversation. You're awesome. You're lovely. You're so genuine. And we really do appreciate this conversation. We feel the passion from you. And again, welcome to the club that no one wants to be in. The mold hypersensitive people yes. trying to do good in this world and trying to help. Thank you for being a part of that.
Thank
club.
You for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the work you guys do. You know, it's an amazing thing that you guys do for people. So bless your hearts for that.
Thanks. Thank you. It's a hard situation. It's a battle every day. It's a thankless role, but you know, at the end of the day, we all know this has to be done and someone's got to be honest. You know, yeah. someone's got to fight against the evil and that's what we're doing. So if people wanted to work with you, where can they find you?
So we are located in Washington State, but we do travel with Jax. We're currently, you know, working on a trip right now to like the states in the middle. So we usually, you know, we try to work with people to make it as cost efficient when we travel out of states. So we try to find a couple of families to kind of split up the airfare and all of that. But, you know, we are located in Washington and we travel to the states around us by car and, you know, we fly when need be.
So your service areas are what? Washington, Oregon,
Washington, Idaho. Oregon, California, Idaho. Yeah. And as I said, we do fly a decent amount, you know, it's definitely a harder thing to do. So we try to, you know, get at least a couple of clients just to make it easier for them and even easier for Jax, you know, the whole travel and flight and everything. But we definitely, you know, we go where need be. And whenever we travel, we usually take them with us too, you know, and we're like, hey, we're headed this way if anyone needs us. So we've had that happen a couple of times, but yeah, we're in the rainy Washington state.
Yeah. He'd be a great dog to, you know, spend time in hotels with. He'll be able to tell you right away if you got to change the room. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
We want to thank you for listening. Just sending a friendly reminder that what we say is not intended as medical advice, but information to expand your thinking surrounding common situations and issues within the mold community. If you like what we do, please support us by making a donation in the link in our show notes. We also provide one-on-one consultations, products to help with symptom management that you can find in our shop, and a private membership group filled with a supportive community of peers working together to heal from toxic mold. As a friendly reminder, Exposing Mold is a 501c3 nonprofit, and every donation is tax deductible. Thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to providing you with the most honest information out there on mold and mold issues. Please visit exposingmold.org for more information.